From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Thank you for the privilege of broadcasting to you. Well, next hour, the predictions of Merlin the Computer with Paul Gersio. Get ready for some of those. And here's some of the stories of the day. A biotechnology company claims that it has developed a new way of creating stem cells without destroying human embryos. This could be a major story, billing it as a potential solution to a political and ethical debate. Stem cell researchers seem to be very impressed by the new technique's ability to produce two robust lines of stem cells without requiring the destruction of embryos. The company is called Advanced Cell Technology. A Polish man who had his cancerous tongue removed has had a new one made using tissue from his behind. I kid you not. The 23-year-old, he now has a functioning tongue made from his backside after surgery. His tongue was removed after it was diagnosed with cancer. According to a doctor, "We removed the tumor-filled tongue, checking that there were no remaining cancerous cells around the patient's mouth, then collected skin, fat, nerve tissue from the man's behind and modeled that into a new tongue, which we sewed into his mouth, and it is functioning." Phonetics experts have backed up dairy farmers' claims that cows moo with regional accents. This is another strange story, and they are not kidding. Dairy farmers in England noticed a local twang to the sounds made by their animals, according to a newspaper. So the professor of phonetics at the University of London, John Wells, says this phenomenon is well attested in birds. You find distinct chirping accents in the same species around the country. This is also true now of cows. The phenomenon was noticed by members of what is called the West Country Farmhouse Cheesemakers Group, who put it down to the close bond between the farmer and the cow. It's another amazing story. In Amsterdam, the Netherlands, police arrested 12 people aboard a U.S. flight bound for India that was diverted to Amsterdam after they displayed suspicious behavior relating to mobile phones. A police spokesperson said he could not disclose the nationalities of the people taken from the Northwest DC-10 after it was diverted over German airspace or the nature of the suspicions against them. A U.S. government official says the sensitive nature of the subject, so please don't use my name, said that the crew members and the air marshals observed the passengers attempting to use cell phones and passing cell phones among themselves while the airline was taking off. And now, you know, if you've been on a plane, you shut your phone off before it takes off and you put it away. If you see 12 people all with phones and they're handing them around, there's something strange going on. So this is what they did. Iran's response to an offer of incentives to halt its nuclear ambitions falls short of United Nations demands, according to the State Department. The Bush administration's first official comments on Tehran's response sets the stage for a possible UN fight if the West pushes for sanctions, a story that will get even bigger, I predict. Israel's foreign minister has urged rapid action on building an expanded UN peacekeeping force in Lebanon, warning of an explosive situation on the ground. Time was running out for the UN ceasefire resolution to be applied, she says. Meanwhile, Syrian President Bashar Assad has indicated his opposition to the deployment of UN troops along the Lebanese-Syrian border. The U.S. catch-and-release immigration policy officially has ended, according to the Chief of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff. Law enforcement authorities are holding nearly all non-Mexican illegal immigrants caught in the United States until they can be deported to their home countries. The new catch-and-detain policy does not apply to Mexicans, who are then just simply sent back immediately after being stopped by Border Patrol agents. John Mark Carr's relatives offered the movie and book rights to the family story in hopes of hiring a high-level attorney to defend the school teacher against charges he killed 6-year-old beauty queen JonBenet Ramsey. Carr's father and brother hired an actor, author, and producer named Larry Garrison out here in Los Angeles to represent them in any media deals and to help them find a top attorney to represent Carr, who is in a Los Angeles jail awaiting transfer to Colorado to face allegations that he killed a girl in 1996. Skeletons found at an unearthed site in Mexico show that the Aztecs captured, ritually sacrificed, and partially ate several hundred people traveling with invading Spanish forces in the 1520s. Skulls and bones near an archaeological site near Mexico City show that about 550 victims had their hearts ripped out by Aztec priests in ritual offerings and were dismembered or had their bones boiled or scraped clean. The findings support accounts of Aztecs capturing and killing a caravan of Spanish conquistadors and local men, women, and children traveling with them in revenge for the murder of an Aztec king. Well, I was contacted just a few moments ago by the family members of Ed Warren, the paranormal investigator, John Zaffis, one of his family members on the line to tell us the heartbreaking news. John, thanks for getting in touch with us. Understand Ed has passed away.
Yeah, he passed away this afternoon, and it's a difficult type situation for everybody, including Lorraine. I mean, those two were like inseparable. So it's a difficult thing, but, you know, it's something that is very prominent and very outstanding. They were like in the forefront of everything, brought things to the forefront with cases and books and movies, and criticized for so many of the ways they handled and did things. But if it wasn't for those two, and especially Ed, most of us wouldn't be doing what we're doing today as far as the paranormal work goes and TV shows and all of the above.
It was a long illness that he was fighting, John, and I guess he was, what, 80 years old?
Yeah, he would have been 80 years old September 7th.
Wow, he came close. Well, he was a great man, and he was a great friend of this program because his subject matter and the things he investigated, of course, really brought to the forefront the many things that we cover here on Coast to Coast. And you, John, carry the torch, if you will, for the family and give our thoughts and prayers to Lorraine, will you, for us?
I sure will.
All right, thank you very much. That's John Zaffis, who's the nephew of Ed Warren, and he himself, John Zaffis, is a very fine paranormal investigator as well. As I mentioned yesterday, the Internal Revenue Service plans to turn over the files of at least 12,500 delinquent U.S. taxpayers to private collection agencies in 2 weeks. Privatizing collections is going to be more expensive than using civil servants. But the officials say they have no choice because Congress has refused to appropriate money to hire more employees. The collection agencies will go after those who owe less than $25,000. This is going to be a major story and will be a major headache for Americans. Just when the IRS was starting to clean up its act somewhat, now once they go to this active private collection agencies, all kinds of problems can occur. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk this hour with a couple experts who will be able to steer us through what some of these problems will be, and later on we'll take your phone calls. Maybe you want to share some of your horror stories with us. But listen to this clip that Joshua Schweigert and Robert Hyde provided to us about someone, a collector, who is trying to get some money for a past due bill on a car.
You have two saved messages. First message from 1916. Today, 2:57 a.m.
Yes. The gentleman that was just at your door, who you refused to open the door or talk with, I'm from Motor Company. And if you refuse to answer the door to me, I guarantee you, I will wake up every neighbor in your entire building. Okay, and I'll let everybody know you don't know how to pay your bills. Now, if someone knocks on your door, open it, you.
To review this message, press 1. To save this message, press 2. To delete, message saved for 60 days. Second message from 1916. Today, 2:59 a.m.
I'm extremely sorry to bother you, but I really do need you to pay your bills or answer your door or return the vehicle that you obviously can't afford.
To review this message, press 1. To save this message, press 2. To delete.
The beeps you heard, of course, the profanity of that collector, absolutely unbelievable. And then there were some private phone numbers I wanted to block out. But it's going to be a big problem. And, you know, I think it could be one of the biggest mistakes the IRS has ever done. In a moment, we'll talk with two experts about this, see if they agree with me that this is going to be a big mistake. Couple of guests for you. Joshua P. Swigart is a licensed attorney in California. Robert Hyde is a licensed attorney in California and Minnesota. Both are partners in the San Diego law firm Hyde and Swigart, which practices exclusively in the area of consumer rights litigation. Between them, they've represented hundreds of consumers against abusive collection agencies, banks, repossession agencies, and other creditors for violations of state and federal consumer statutes. They have both lectured to senior citizens organizations, law schools, consumer rights groups, and military lawyers employed by the Department of Defense concerning the abuses consumers suffer at the hands of unscrupulous debt collectors and creditors. Mr. Swigart and Mr. Hyde have both been instrumental in assisting organizations such as the Consumer Attorneys of California and the National Association of Consumer Advocates with their goals, including advocating for California consumers, as well as working to ensure recent attacks on consumer statutes are defended. They're our guests. Hello, Joshua. How are you?
How are you, George?
Good. And Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello, George.
Give me, let's start with you, Joshua, your overall opinion of what the Internal Revenue Service is doing in September, and that is using private debt collectors to pick up some of the debt.
Well, you really hit the nail on the head. House Bill 1169 is going to be attached to the budget proposals by George Bush. And what's going to happen is there's going to be thousands of consumer accounts and back taxes, typically small accounts, that are going to be handed over to the private debt collection side. And the funny thing about it is there's really only going to be a handful, about 10 collection agencies to be exact, that are going to benefit from this. And what's going to happen is these are going to be handed over to the private side and be collected upon like any other type of a past due bill. There's been great concern as far as the added consumer abuses that are going to happen, as well as various other types of invasion of privacy claims that might be happening by handing these accounts that are typically held by the government over to private collectors.
See, and as you know, over the last couple of years, the IRS, which has been under fire for the way they've handled and treated taxpayers and Americans, they've kind of slowed down a little bit. They've backed down a little bit. They've tried to become more user-friendly. By going in this direction, Robert, I think that, you know, these collection agencies are going to be unscrupulous, tough. I mean, we just heard the clip that you provided us. I mean, this guy was unbelievable.
No, I agree. As a matter of fact, debt collectors are far from user-friendly. They are very interested in only one thing, which is to get the money. As a matter of fact, one of the problems that we see all the time is that the debt collectors are so focused on getting the money, they really have no interest in whether or not the person actually owes it or whether or not they're abusing people. They abuse people constantly. The tape that you just heard, that's one tape of many that we have in our office. And I have to say, it's unfortunate, but it's a fairly common thing for debt collectors to abuse debtors. As a matter of fact, the ACA, the American Collectors Association, is real fond of saying that that these abuses only take place occasionally. But the truth is, from our experience anyway, almost all debt collectors are abusive at one point or another, and many of them, they're abusive as a regular course of business.
Without arguing the merits of whether the Internal Revenue Service should continue the way it's functioning now, whether we should go to a different kind of a tax system, you know, Americans pay their taxes, and those that don't, I'm sure they're not getting the sympathy of so many people who pay all their taxes. But that's not the issue. The issue here is what rights do people have as Americans? How much privacy do they have?
you know, do they have to be harassed and basically embarrassed to pay their bills? Maybe they can't pay their bills. And I'm just afraid that these private collection companies will do whatever they have to do to get their percent, to get their commission.
Well, that's what they're going to do. And one of the things that's kind of interesting about this program that they're introducing is that the debt collectors are going to collect approximately 25% of everything they collect. Now, the reason that they claim that that's needed is in order to have an incentive for the debt collectors to go out and try to collect this money. What's interesting, though, is typically a debt collector for private debts only collects about 3%. They only pay about 3% for the debt. So when the government is handing these over for 25%, they're really giving it away.
Now, also, the IRS has levy and garnishment rights. What's going to happen with those, with these private debt collectors? I mean, are these people going to threaten Americans with levy, you know, hitting their bank accounts and hitting their, you know, their checks, their checkbooks and you know, their salaries? Are they going to have that authority?
Well, I don't think so. My understanding is that they are still going to be regulated by a very powerful law, a federal law. It's called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. It's a law that we use a lot in our firm. Fortunately, at least at this point, it looks like the debt collectors will be regulated by that law. You could probably compare this to student loans that are out right now. Debt collectors are allowed to collect on student loans, government-insured student loans, but they are still covered by the FDCPA.
Now, I'm going to play a short clip that you gave us, Joshua and Robert, of a collection company that sounds like they tried to trick people in believing that they're a form of the government. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we play the short clip? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Sure, I do. This clip comes from a fairly large collection agency, deals mostly in collecting auto loans. And one of the tactics they decided to use was to create this this recording, and it gave the false impression that the consumer was being investigated for some type of fraud or that some type of government agency was actually behind the collection activity. And really how we got this message were more than one consumer contacted our office and told us that they felt they were being investigated by the government. And to be honest with you, at first glance, when we looked at this, we thought it was from a government agency, and only upon further review and investigation through the litigation that we filed, we found out it was actually a private firm that was masquerading as the government.
All right, well, let's listen to this clip.
You have reached the Western Regional Headquarters for the Office of Special Investigations, Task Force for Financial Crimes Prevention. If this call is an emergency, hang up now and dial 911. This call may be monitored or recorded. If you know the department or extension of the person you want to contact, enter it now. To reach an operator, press 0. At the tone, please say the name of the agent you want to contact. If you don't know the name of the agent, say operator. State your name and case number, if applicable.
Gentlemen, if I got that kind of call, I'd say, well, who do I pay? I'll send the check in now. I mean, that scares the heck out of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then this call came from a single mother of three who was really just trying to make ends meet. You know, her spouse that left her and left with the vehicle, and she was left to pay the bills.
Oh, my.
It was just terrible.
Now, whatever happened to this agency or to this message? Is it still around?
My understanding is this message is not. After this this message became public, more than one government agency, regulatory agency, came down on this debt collector and began a criminal investigation, which is still ongoing.
See, what I see this entire picture of being is, again, it's just a slap in the face to Americans who are getting it from every different direction. And, you know, and here's still something else, which goes into effect apparently in September. I think people are going to go nuts over this thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, they probably are. They probably, as a matter of fact, I think you're going to see a lot of abuse on this. I think you have to remember, too, that Congress just kind of pulled the rug out from under consumers with the bankruptcy laws. So a lot of people are finding themselves deeper and deeper in debt and no way out. And now this leaves an opportunity for the debt collectors to jump in, and they can also jump in on your taxes now, too.
All right, well, stay with us because we're going to take phone calls. Those of you who might want to share some of your horror stories, or perhaps you have a question about this situation, stick with us the next hour. It's Merlin the Computer with its predictions of the future. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, it's the Merlin Project, the computer that predicts the future. Paul Gersio will be our guest, possibly also Dr. George Hart. He's been traveling. We might be able to get him as well. The After Dark newsletter comes out every month, 14 issues for the price of 12. I just saw an advanced copy of the one that's coming out soon. You are going to love it. If you'd like to take advantage of that deal, 14 for 12, call 1-888-727-5505, or you can also go online, safe and secure, at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to take your phone calls now, your stories, or perhaps your questions for our guest Joshua Schweigert as we talk about the IRS and what they plan to do in September. Is there any way this can go away, Joshua, or is it a done deal?
Well, it's not necessarily a done deal. The problem is there really hasn't been enough momentum in Congress to overturn this. Even though there are some consumer groups that are fighting this, there really just hasn't been enough, like I said, momentum to get anything done. It looks like it is going to pass.
Not a lot of mainstream media talking about it right now either.
No, it's really not. And unfortunately, like you said, in a couple weeks, there's going to be thousands of consumer accounts that are going to be handed over to the private debt collection side to go after individual taxpayer liabilities.
I would guess the IRS is going to send out letters to these people explaining that they're going to be getting calls or in contact, because I got to tell you, if one owed the IRS and then some private collector called and said, hey, send me the money, there's no way I would do that.
Right, and I know it sounds a little odd that maybe this is the first time that one of these collection agencies might be calling up saying that they're from the IRS or on behalf of the IRS. This actually happens quite a bit right now as it is. The only saving grace that Congress has set forth is that they will not be allowed to solicit over the Internet. It'll have to be by mail or telephone, and all the payments will be paid directly to the IRS. So if consumers are getting notices to send the payments directly to the collection agencies or online, they need to disregard those.
Okay, that's a good point. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi. Hi, George. I'm driving down the highway here listening to you.
All right, good. Thank you.
I'm just going to make a comment about the IRS. Back in 1976, I kind of got railroaded on a deal. I wasn't but 26 years old, and I was married with a couple of kids at that time, and my wife and I got a divorce, and then anyway, wound up in 1980, I received a bill from Internal Revenue for interest and just money. I made a double-digit mistake on my income tax return. Wound up, they called me into federal court, and it wound up costing me a $5,000 fine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And this was from 1976 to 1980, so that those years had passed by.
Oh, they accumulated and the penalty.
They railroaded me. I mean, it was just, back then, that was a lot of money for a young man, you know, like myself with a family. And at that time I was divorced, but it was just ideal on a double-digit mistake on an income tax return that they should rip me like that. I'm going to listen off the air.
Okay, I got to tell you, it's a lot of money. $5,000 is a lot of money in today's dollars as well. What can people do, Joshua, if they need, some help? Who do they go to?
Well, you're talking about help with paying an IRS bill or help with...
Maybe both, litigation and an IRS bill.
Well, with the IRS bill, you definitely want to consult. There are a lot of attorneys out there who specialize in this area. You know, as far as Ben Franklin said, there's only two guaranteed things in life. One is death and the other is taxes. The government's going to get their money one way or the other. There's an IRS account out there, and there's, a lien, and they're taking a collection activity. There's not much you can do, but there are some options, such as making a possible payment plan, negotiating it down, but you need some professional help to do that.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. My name is Jeremiah, and I'm from Boise, Idaho.
Thank you, Jeremiah. And just call me George.
Okay. I have a couple questions. One of them is, well, I have the fear of going into debt, and I don't know what to expect if these bill collectors try to come and get me, basically, because I have a little bit over $3,000 in bills, because I went to the hospital, and after I was released from there, they start giving me all these bunch of bills, and I can't keep track of them. And I was just wondering, what should I do? Should I, try to fix it, or should I get a loan, or what? What's the safest way?
How does he whittle his way out of this, Joshua?
Well, I mean, you bring up a very good point. I mean, this year alone, it's record consumer debt in the amount of about $2.17
billion. Oh, yeah. Credit cards are maxed for most people.
And really, the interesting thing is that a survey done found that this really wasn't because of overspending. It was really out of necessity. It was people who had medical bills or got behind in, lost their job, couldn't make their house payments, and fell behind on their credit cards. So it's very common, where they claim, the credit agencies claim that it's only deadbeats who don't want to pay their bills. That really is not the case. And so what can be done is this: if accounts get sent over to collections, you need to contact typically an attorney who's very experienced in this area, and there are those throughout the country. A lot of them can be found online. And they can tell you what to do about when, these collection agencies contact you, and you really need to be careful. We help a lot of consumers, most of the time free of charge, in really serving as a medium between the debt collector and the consumer, so that these abuses don't take place.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's go east of the Rockies now. You're on the show on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Joey from Boston, George.
Hi, Joey.
And I just want to pay a quick compliment. You had some great shows, and I just named two as Graham Hancock and Professor Kaku, and I hope you bring them back.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've been doing a great job, and I've listened to you since you've been coming. Now I'll get to the credit question. It's always a miserable question. I got a credit people that are after me, and I'm on a fixed income, blah, blah, blah. But I go out, and, you check your messages on the voicemail. I come home. And I pick up the phone. This happened about at least three or four times, and I caught up to what they're doing. But there's music that is played, like in the very beginning of the message. And as the music plays, somewhere along the way, a voice intervenes. Apparently, they get a signal that goes directly when they're working, and they say, "Hello, we would like blah 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 blah." I mean, do they have that? The right to invade my privacy that way by leaving a message, putting a little bit of music, and then intruding by, presenting themselves on the phone when I am actually just checking my messages, attempting to make a call. Have you heard of that at all? Have these fellows heard of that, George?
I have heard of that. You're referencing, there is another statute out there, a federal statute that applies to all the states, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. That was passed quite a few years ago, and it doesn't regulate debt collectors calling you typically to collect a debt, but it does have some regulatory effect by using auto dialers and leaving pre-recorded messages. Especially to cellular telephones, that would be a violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, and typically it would be a violation of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So if you're receiving messages like that, it would be a violation of the law. Another interesting point is a lot of consumers don't know, and the debt collectors don't want to convey this information. If you find out who they are, if they send you a letter, if they leave you a number, and you call it back, and you write them a letter, that you don't want to receive any more communications, letters, or telephone calls, they have to stop. And if they don't, they violate the law.
Stay tough with them, Joey. Thanks for the call. In the movie Barbarians at the Gate, Jonathan Pryce played Henry Kravis, who said, I'll always remember this line, debt tightens a company. He said it was great. It's not too good for a consumer, though, is it?
No, not at all.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George, love the show.
Thank you, sir.
This is Ray from Cincinnati.
Those are our truck drivers, Joshua, by the way. That's the deal we have with them.
Excellent. We love them.
There's a bunch of us out here. Before I bought my own truck, okay, which was like 2 years ago, I got in a little trouble with the IRS. I owed them about $4,000. But I bought the truck the year that the tax was going to be due. So I knew that the next year they were going to owe me money. So what I figured I'd do is I'd just let it ride for the year, and the next year when they owed me, it would wash out the debt, right?
Right.
Well, they didn't even wait a year, and they froze my bank accounts. I had to come up with $4,000 to pay them off before they would release my bank accounts. So my question is, if I found myself in that situation again, since the debt collectors cannot freeze my bank accounts, wouldn't that work out better for me?
Well, you bring up a very interesting point. It actually would probably benefit you if it was being pursued by a private debt collector.
Yeah, but won't they then refer it to the IRS? What if they say, hey, we can't collect this, freeze this guy's bank account? Wouldn't the IRS still levy and garnish and do whatever they do? I don't think that's going to go away, Joshua.
No, I don't think it will, but you have to take a look at the resources that the IRS actually has. And the reason that they're going to the private debt collection is that they don't have the resources to pursue these cases on claims on their own. So I think what consumers will see a lot is threats of garnishment, threats of levies, when the government or the debt collector doesn't have any type of intention of actually doing that.
Yeah, I just needed to buy them off for a year, you know, and it would have washed the debt out, because the next year they did end up owing me like $8,000. So, you know, it would have washed itself out. I just needed to buy some time. And they didn't even wait a year to come after me for that $4,000.
It sounded like a great plan.
All right.
Thanks, George. Thanks. I love the show, buddy.
Appreciate you got out of that. Quick message just came in. Someone says, look, if you're up to debt, up to your ears, how can you afford an attorney to try to fight your way out? How do attorneys work?
Well, we all work differently, but the great thing in this field, where the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act is concerned, and Congress was intelligent in passing this act, they provided in the statute that a prevailing party, a prevailing consumer, the defendant, the debt collector, would have to pay the attorney's fees for the consumer. So we take all our cases on a contingency basis. You know, we look at the case, and if it's a good case, we pursue it. Often we prevail, and the debt collector pays the attorney's fees and doesn't come out of the consumer's pocket.
Do you know how some companies sell their debt? Mortgage companies sell their debt. Credit card companies sell their debt. Does the IRS sell their debt, walk from it, pick up 60 cents on the dollar maybe, and then let the collection agency or whomever bought the debt fight it out? Does that happen?
Well, it hasn't happened yet, and I don't believe it will. There are two different types of assignments, if you will. One is, as you described, it gets sold out in a secondary market. The older it is, the less it's worth, and even the most recent debt, you know, it's only worth a few cents on the dollar. What the IRS is planning on doing is just assigning it over for a certain period of time to one of their 10 collection agencies, and if they can collect from the consumer, they receive a 25% commission or contingency off the amount that's collected. And if they can't, what will probably happen is it will be flipped to another collection agency for them to take their whack at the consumer.
Now, these people, what kind of deals are they try to cut with Americans? Payment plans, a little bit up front, you wash it. I mean, they're going to have the right, let's say somebody owes $3,000, they're going to have the right to say, hey, send me $1,500 and the rest we just wash. Can they negotiate like that?
That's going to be interesting. Typically, they won't have the authority to negotiate, and consumers need to be very wary about that. On typical standard consumer accounts, they do negotiate those down because, as I said, they purchase them only for a few cents on the dollar. So, you know, anything more than that is just pure profit to them. If that is not the arrangement, which it doesn't look like it will be with the IRS, they don't have that. That doesn't mean that they're going to stop offering these deals to the consumer. And what likely will happen is the consumer will pay half or a portion of it under this deal that was made and later find out that their tax bill is still owed for the balance.
I mean, because right now, if you bring in a good attorney or a CPA, you know, they can sometimes get an offer in compromise or something with the IRS. I'm not sure that's going to work with a private collection agency.
I agree with you, George.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
My name's Bill. I'm in Miami.
Hey, Bill.
And I'm a certified public accountant.
Ah, okay.
And this is going to be a disaster, an ultimate. This is going to make George Bush look great. There's going to be so many problems with this. The worst problem I see are the accounts that are going to be sent over to the collection agencies are still going to have outstanding tax issues as opposed to collection issues. And these people, the collectors, they're not going to know how to handle tax issues.
No, you're right.
I mean, it happens now all the time. Someone, you know, an individual gets a bill from the IRS. They get scared. They put it away. You know, they don't want to deal with it for a couple months because they get letters. Then they want to deal with it. They call me, and it's a tax issue, not a collection issue. And if these accounts are sent, there's going to be, I guarantee you, there's going to be at least 40% of the accounts are not going to belong in collections. And as it is, the IRS sends out notices for payment that are incorrect because they've billed the wrong penalty or interest as it is.
It's going to be very confusing then.
It's going to be disastrous because they don't have any tax expertise. They're going to go, no, but the IRS is sent to us, therefore there's no tax issue involved. You just owe us the money, you know, because they don't know what to do, which is going to be a lie, basically. I think the most important thing is anyone who gets one of these collection letters should contact a CPA first immediately to make sure that there is no outstanding tax issue. And don't just pay a bill from the collection agency either. Like people do with the IRS notices, they get scared, they pay the bill, and it's an incorrect amount. First thing you got to determine is that it's a correct amount, and that's the most important thing. This is just going to be a disaster after disaster, especially because these people may also have limited powers. You just brought up offering compromise. I can't see how, if an account is sent to the collection agency, that all the other avenues that the IRS makes available now, such as offering compromise, can't be made available to them later, even if it's in a collection agency. But it's got to be handled by the IRS, not the collection agency.
Yeah, and they may not tell the collection agency they've cut the deal. It could be a mess.
Exactly. And the problem is going to be is that the laws that still exist for taxpayer rights, especially involving tax issues, still apply to the account that's been sent to the collection agency. And the problem is that the collectors are, you know, they're basically going to lie their way through it and say there's not going to be an issue or whatever. And at that point, they should stop dealing with the collector and go back and call the IRS, or hire a professional, hopefully a CPA if it's a tax issue, and deal with it that way, because you're going to have people paying amounts that they shouldn't be paying all over the place.
Hey, Bill, I bet this is going to be a major issue in the next presidential election.
You're going to have horror stories. I mean, the horror stories that you've heard in the past about the IRS and collections, it's going to be nothing compared to what you're going to hear now.
All right. Thanks for your comments, Bill.
No problem.
Appreciate you. We got time for one or two more quick calls, and that's it. First time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, this is Jim from Madison.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, just want to say I love your show, and I'm glad I'm calling tonight, but I'm a little embarrassed. I'm on a current payment plan with the IRS from about 4 years ago. Oh, I chopped it down to about $9,000. And I'm in massive debt. I haven't filed a return since then for about 3 years. And I just want advice on what I should do.
Okay, don't be embarrassed, Jim. Everybody's gotten into problems in their lifetime at once. Gosh, I know I have in my day. Go ahead, Joshua.
Yeah, and again, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean, we've all found ourselves in these situations before. Well, I think in your situation, you definitely want to consult with a professional who's licensed in your state, like the other caller that just called, a CPA, as far as the tax implications. You probably also want to talk to an attorney about possible bankruptcy. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's written into the Constitution and allowable. And that might be the right alternative for you, although, you know, there are some implications that, you know, certain IRS debts cannot be written off in a bankruptcy, but it might be able to alleviate and loosen up some money that you're paying on other consumer accounts that would be included.
Hey, Joshua, we'll be in touch with you. As we get close to tax time, might be time to bring you back on, huh?
Sure, absolutely.
Right.
More than happy to,
George. You take care of yourself. Their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Also, thank you earlier to Robert Hyde, who joined us as well. They're partners in the law firm of Schweigert and Hyde out there in San Diego, or Hyde and Schweigert, depending on what you want. Sounds like Jekyll and Hyde, doesn't it? I'll be back in a moment. No, that's the IRS. I'll be back in a moment. Merlin the computer. Predictions of the future.